Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yom Tili. Today we learn Psalm 110, Mizmor Kuf Yud. This psalm is unusual to the Psalter in that it focuses not on the individual and not on God, but to the King of Israel, or to the King. We've seen similar themes in Psalms 21, 20, 21, 45, and 72, but the rest of Tehillim is really focused on a person in pain and suffering, calling out to God and the relationship between them. Psalm 110 begins with a strange word, ne'um, speech, which occurs all over Tanakh 375 times, but only twice in Tehillim. It connotes a prophecy from God, which promises the steadfastness of the King of Israel. Sforno believes the psalm is referring to the Melech HaMashiach, King Messiah. Radak brings the position of the rabbis, who suggests that the psalm is talking about Abraham's chosenness as leader and warrior when he went to battle against the four kings, noting that the reference to a priest in verse 4 and the personality of Malki Tzedek appears in the psalm. But Radak himself explains the mizmor as talking about David and his kingship. He then goes on an uncharacteristic polemic against Christians, Jesus in particular, interpreting this verse as referring to their Messiah, and explains all the reasons why it can't possibly be so, concluding with his last proof from the last words of the psalm, "Then he will lift his head." And he writes, "Until this day, no head has been lifted." We should note that Radak's father wrote a famous polemical work against Christianity, but nevertheless, it's unusual in the commentary here. Verse 1 quotes the prophecy from God. But David mizmor ne'um Adonai, l'Adonai shev li yimini ad ashit oyvecha hadom l'raglecha. A psalm of David, the Lord says to my master, I'm sorry, David mizmor ne'um Adonai ladoni, shev li yimini ad ashit oyvecha adom ravecha. To my master, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The prophecy seems to say that to the anointed one, to stay put, because God himself will assure victory without the need for the king to go into battle. If this is referring to David, then the idea is that at some point David did stay put, and the feeling was that God was with him, and therefore the army could take care of it without him. The second verse reads, Mate uzcha yishlach Adonai mitzion redei bekerev evecha. The Lord sends your mighty scepter from Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Sforno explains the change in voice as King David turning to the King Messiah of the future and saying that God will send your scepter from Zion. But Amos Chacham reminds us that the words Yishlach Hashem Mitzion, God will send from Zion, is very similar to Psalm 20, Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzion, which reminds us that this mizmor is really about turning to the king in the present day and saying that God is with him. Verse 3 says, Amcha nedavot b'yom chelecha b'hadrei kodesh meirechem mishchad lecha tal yaldutecha. Your people offer themselves willingly on the day of your battle in the majesty of holiness, b'hadrei kodesh, from the womb of the morning when the dew of your youth was upon you. It's a complicated verse. The simple reading of this psalm is that it's an ode to the king warrior who goes out to battle, and the subjects praise him for his endeavors. Verse 3 offers the most important testament to the faith in the king. Willingness to stand by his side, standing by the leader in battle. Rashbam, however, reading in the middle of the verse, suggests that it refers to those who accompany the king to the temple and offer sacrifices. See, it says Bahadre Kodesh. Maybe the Nidava is what is brought in the Hadar Kodesh. Although it sounds like the Pshat is for those people who stand with him in battle. Verse 4 says, Nishba Adonai v'lo yinachem ata kohen le'olam al divrati malki tzedek. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the manner of Malki Tzedek. This verse seems to challenge the notion that the king in the story is David. After all, David came from the tribe of Judah. He was not a priest, was he? Rashbam translates the word Kohen as Melech, which is remarkable to say that It means melech. But Ibn Ezra says that the term Kohen doesn't necessarily refer to a priest from the Levi tribe. Rather, any Jew serves God with his all his heart and serves the people could be called a Kohen. He then quotes a verse which explicitly proves his point. Uvnei David Kohanim Hayu. And David's sons were priests. It's in the second book of Samuel. Perhaps this is supported by the end of the verse, which invokes the name of Malki Tzedek, one who served as a priest, but certainly not from the Israelite priestly tribe. He wasn't even a Hebrew. The Rambam in Hilchot Shmitah de Yovel, in the 13th parak, says that any individual can become a Levite or a priest, meaning the general idea of a servant in the temple. Anyone who they put their mind to it can serve God like one of the priests. Verse 5, 6, and 7. Adonai al yimincha machatz biyom apom lachim. Lord, at your right hand, he shall crush the kings in his wrath. Yadim bagoyim aleg viot machatro shal eretz rabai. Shall judge among the nations, fill the places with the dead bodies, and shatter heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore he shall lift up the head. The last two verses were adapted to a prayer called Av HaRachamim, which we recite on most Shabbats during the year before the Musaf prayer. It is a prayer that asks God to seek and seeks vengeance, to avenge the blood of Israel, to kill off the enemies of Israel. This prayer was instituted after the Crusades, when so many Jewish communities were massacred. These verses speak of God's judgment and of shattering the heads over many countries. The phrase "minachal v'aderech yishteh," drink from the brook on the way, is a difficult expression, mystifying commentators. But Rashbam understood it as reflecting the miracle of David's battles, that streams would appear to quench the thirst of Israel. And therefore, Israel can raise its head high in battle, since they will not be tired, but will have the energy to continue fighting.